BSI in the world. I'm John Batchelor. Malcolm Hoheleyn, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, is with me, and we're very pleased to be joined by the CEO and Jerusalem Bureau Chief of the Jewish News Service, Alex Trayman. Alex, right to the question of the hostages. I've had so many reports, I am overwhelmed. How many are alive? How many are dead? Where are they? What is the latest information in Jerusalem? Good evening to you, Alex.
Good evening, John. Good evening, Malcolm. There are approximately 134 hostages that have yet to be returned since the fateful day of October 7th. Over 250 people were taken hostage on that day. Of the 134, it is believed that several dozen of them may no longer be alive. Since the October 7th, only three hostages have been rescued by the IDF military, and another 110 were released as part of hostage exchanges. That was many months ago, and we haven't had any such deal since that time. Right now, it's believed that many of the hostages could be underground in the tunnels in Gaza, and many may be in the southernmost town of Gaza, which is Rafah, where the IDF has yet to enter in a major operation. That might be forthcoming in the coming days or weeks. And there may need to be another truce of sorts, a temporary truce to get the hostages out, unless there's some kind of a major deal that would essentially end the conflict with the return of the hostages.
Malcolm?
Last week, there were local elections. But local elections usually have broad implications for the national scene. Can you give us an assessment of the outcome of that election and what the implications are in terms of Prime Minister Netanyahu, the coalition, calling new early elections?
Yeah, in Israel, the local elections are somewhat disconnected from the national elections. In the major cities like Tel Aviv and Jerusalem, the incumbent long-time serving members, both were reelected, Ron Huldai in Tel Aviv and Moshe Leon in Jerusalem. So it really doesn't impact much of the policies regarding the national elections. Now, national elections in Israel are not scheduled for another 3 years. And the opposition is harboring for immediate elections. You had Ehud Barak, a former prime minister of Israel, writing in Foreign Policy this week, calling for early elections. It seems as though the nation is united, that they do not want to go into yet a sixth election in about 6 years' time in the middle of a war that would be disastrous for the unity of the nation, which has been established since October 7th. And the way a coalition government works, as long as the members of the coalition are satisfied with the government can remain strong. And so far, it looks as though Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is leading the war in a very prudent and successful, methodical manner that most Israelis are satisfied with, even if they have political problems with him. And his other coalition partners don't really stand to benefit from going to an early election. So I think that these calls for early elections are premature, and that it's very likely that this government will last maybe for another year, maybe for longer.
Alex, it's 5 months since the attack, and Hezbollah continues to provoke, harass, and murder in the north. Several voices have said we must solve Hezbollah. Is that ahead of us? 5 months of Hamas to be settled and then unknown how long it will take to drive Hezbollah back to the Litani River.
Well, it's certainly a real possibility that Israel might find itself in an all-out conflict with Hezbollah, which would be completely different than the conflict that Israel finds itself in currently with Gaza. And that's because Hezbollah possesses a much larger cachet of weapons, many of them long range, many of them precision guided, could do significant damage to the Israeli home front. And Israel has thus far been trying to avoid that all out conflict. They would prefer, and they also believe that Lebanon would prefer a diplomatic outcome. But at a certain point, there may be no choice, and Israel might find itself going into southern Lebanon. At the same time, Israel doesn't really want to be fighting two fronts at the same time. If they're going to be fighting against Hezbollah, what soldiers do they use? What tanks do they use? They would prefer for the hostilities in Gaza to come to a major conclusion before they engage in war in Lebanon to Israel's north.
Malcolm?
You've seen, we've seen the reports of incidents from Judea and Samaria in the West Bank of terrorist attacks, individual cases so far. But do you see, is there a coherence between these attacks? Do you see the situation there escalating? I know Israel moved preemptively and I think effectively, finding many weapons manufacturing facilities under the Palestinian Authority territories. Do you see the PA cooperating? Do you see an escalation likely to emerge from on the West Bank as another front?
Well, we've already seen a bit of an escalation. There have been multiple shooting attacks near some checkpoints on the entrances to Jerusalem. Just in the last 2 weeks, we had two major shooting attacks, one outside Ma'al Adumim on the way into Jerusalem, one near Eili, which is the same site that there was another deadly shooting attack in June earlier this year. That attack in Eili was perpetrated by a member of the Palestinian Authority security forces, and there's about 50,000 members of the Palestinian Authority security force, all of them armed and trained by the United States, for that matter. And there is a very real fear that as we get into the beginning of Ramadan, which starts in just several days, that Hamas will try to use this Islamic holy month, which has been a holy month historically for killing Jews in the land of Israel, as the next stage of the October 7th attack. And there's definitely fears that we might see an all-out style intifada inside Judea and Samaria. Also could be inside Jerusalem, where you have 250,000 Arabs or other Arab Israeli cities. So very real fears, but hopeful that perhaps we won't boil over into all-out violence.
Alex, we have a couple of minutes. Rafah, after Rafah, does Israel have plans to take control of that border and keep it permanently so there's no more reinvestment by Hamas?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when the Rafah operation will begin, we're still waiting. It could be days. It could be weeks. There was a report in the Washington Post right now recently that the United States may prevent Israel from using American weapons in Rafah. So that's a serious question that needs to be answered. And we'll see what comes out of that in the coming days. But certainly controlling the border between Egypt and Gaza, this Philadelphia corridor that Israel vacated in 2005 when it pulled out all of its military and civilians from the Gaza Strip is an absolute priority, because without Israeli control of the border, there's no way to guarantee that new rounds of weapons are not smuggled in to Gaza, and that Hamas, Palestinian Islamic Jihad, or whatever terror entity remains in the Strip after the fighting is over, that then Gaza could be rearmed and restocked to commit further October 7th style attacks on the state of Israel.
We have less than a minute, Malcolm, quickly.
So quickly tell us in terms of the economic impact in Jerusalem and around, tourism seems to have come back partially. Is the economic situation stabilizing?
30 seconds, Alex.
Well, the war is extremely expensive, but it doesn't harm the essence of the Israeli economy. It's definitely a hit on the economy, but when this war ends, it's pretty much guaranteed that the economy should rebound to the levels that it was before the war.
Alex Trayman is the CEO and Jerusalem Bureau Chief for the Jewish News Service. He's in Jerusalem. Malcolm Honlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, returned from Israel. And I'm John Batchelor, CBS Eye on the World.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.